From the rising of the sun to the place where it sits, there is no other God. God says, I am He, and there is none. Hallelujah. We give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Stand up with me, church. Stand up with me. We're going to do something. I love to do this. We're going to say the word, the living word, Jesus Christ, three times. And when you say it, I want you, the shackles of 2019, 18, and 17, and 16, and all that junk to just fall off of you. Because the blood of Jesus heals. The blood of Jesus provides. The blood of Jesus lifts you up with His righteous right hand. So are you ready for this, church? All right, here we go. On the count of one, two, three, you're going to say Jesus three times. One, two, three.
Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus. Yes, hallelujah. You may be seated. Let the world know who we praise today. Our pastor, Dudley, whom we love, is going to be with us next week. He's going to present. Yeah. God is healing him as we speak, and he's going to be with us next week to show us the vision of 2020 for our church. Amen? All right, kids, here we go. So if you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to Daniel chapter 3. It's the 27th book in the Old Testament, Daniel chapter 3. When I was a rookie coming out of USC Medical School, my first year, my first time on call, it is terrifying. And I got called 2 o'clock in the morning, and a nurse says, Doc, can you please come and pronounce this patient dead? And I'm like, yes, I'll be there. I don't know how to pronounce the patient dead. What do? I pronounce you dead? I don't know. So this is my first time. And so I went into the room, dark, scary, and I'm like, hi, I'm Dr. Kojiglanian. How you doing? He didn't say nothing because he was dead. And so I did the physical exam, went and documented everything that my patient has expired. And I asked the nurse, how come you guys didn't call a code blue? This guy's so young. He's 57 years old. We could have done something. We could have helped him. And she goes, this is a tragic story. He had brain cancer. It had gone everywhere. His wife hated him, left him. His kids didn't want anything to do with him. And he just wanted to die. He didn't want any treatment. He said, turn everything off. And I was so heartbroken that night. I'll never forget him, though I never spoke with him, that I could not hold his hand and say, there is hope in your fiery furnace. There is a life. There is a God. There is a Christ. There is a Messiah. There is someone who loves you and can lift you up and hug you and take you out of this fiery furnace. No matter what the end is, we know we will be with Christ one day. And I couldn't give that to him. So everywhere we go, shine the light of Jesus Christ. You got a jewel. You got a treasure. You got life. You got goodness. You got mercy. Let everybody know about our Jesus Christ. We're going to find out about some other kids today in the fiery furnace. We start in Daniel chapter 3, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and its width 6 cubits. What does that mean? It's 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. Remember the word 60 and 6. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Now, where are we? What time is this? Where are we talking about? We're about 600 years before Jesus Christ. So it's 2,600 years away from today. It happened 2,600 years ago. And we're in Babylon. We're in a place, you know, in Genesis chapter 11, verse 1, the land of Shinar, where they build the Tower of Babel. That's exactly where we are. They wanted a one-world government. They wanted one-world religion. And they said, come and let's worship. And Nimrod said, I am God. And God said, nah, baby, I am God. And that thing just got destroyed. So we're there today, modern-day Iraq. You can see where Iraq is. It's right north of Saudi Arabia. And it's, look at my land, Armenia. It's south of Armenia. Armenia. And so that's where it is. And we can see today where exactly this is. The next map will show us Baghdad, which is the capital on the Tigris River. 60 miles south of Baghdad is Babylon, and that's where King Nebuchadnezzar is. Now, 6 miles south of Babylon is the land of Dura. It's a plain. So when you put this golden image up, this thing is 90 feet tall. The Statue of Liberty is about 111 feet from the foundation to the head. It could be seen for 40, 50 miles. Everybody was going to see it. And so what happened? Why would he do such a thing? Why would he erect a statue of gold? Well, we go to chapter 2, which occurred 20 years before chapter 3. And we go and look there in chapter 2, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king who owned the world. You know, we're proud. We have a little bicycle and a little car, whatever. Baby, this boy had the world in his pocket. He had the gold. He had the silver. He had the jewels. He had the pearls. He had people. He had slaves. He had ransacked Jerusalem. He had taken all these great things, even 3-4 boys, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he took them, and he wanted to change their names, and he did. And he wanted to change their culture. He couldn't. He wanted to change their religion. He couldn't. He did it for everybody else, but not these boys. So he had a dream. I got a dream. And so he wakes up, and he calls his magistrates and all the sorcerers and all the magicians, and he tells them, I had a dream. Now, you tell me what the dream is, and you interpret it. And they're like, well, King, you tell us the dream. We, Your Highness, we will tell you what it is. And he's like, nah, you tell me my dream. And they're like, what? No, well, you can't. No, you tell me my dream. And he goes, they said, nobody in the world can do this. Nobody. And he's like, kill them. Nebuchadnezzar's like, just kill them all. Get them out of here. They're all fakers. Included in that killing was going to be Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego, because they were a part of the wise people. Daniel got word, and he said, no, let me go tell the king. Let me go talk to my God. And so Daniel goes to talk to his God. God gives him the vision, reveals to him in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they come and say, King, you saw an image. It was an image of gold on the head, and that's you, King. That's Babylon. You will rule the world. But after you comes an inferior kingdom, the Medes and the Persians, 539 BC. And King, after that will come even another inferior kingdom, and it will be Alexander the Great, Greece of bronze. And after that will be another kingdom. It will be Rome in 14 BC, and it will be the legs of iron. And after that will be the feet of clay and iron mixed together, and a rock will come and destroy this thing. And King, you are the gold. And the rock is Jesus Christ, who will fill the whole world. Well, the king said, my goodness, your God is the revealer of all things. But 20 years passed. See, he was stirred. And he forgot about God. And I'm wondering here today, on a Saturday and a Sunday, when we come and we're stirred, do we forget God on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday? I want to know. You got to know. You can be all stirred up for Jesus Christ, but you got to be stirred on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You got to be stirred all day long for Jesus Christ. And so this king forgot, and he made this image, 90 feet tall, 9 feet wide. Solid gold, it must be a god. And so they erected this thing, and in verse 2, you see that the word went out. So all the governors and the satraps and the administrators and the counselors and the judges, anybody who had a badge, anybody who worked for the government, and there were tens of thousands to come for the dedication. Now watch how this government of Babylon works. Because Babylon will one day, I showed you Iraq, will be the headquarters for the Antichrist. It will be right there. It is the land. It says it in Isaiah. It says it in Revelation chapter 17 and 18. It will be the headquarters for the Antichrist. And watch how the government works. Come and let's just dedicate. Sounds lovely. And so in verse 3, you see that all these peoples come, they gather, and they stand right before it. And in verse 4, a herald cries out and says, O peoples and languages, When you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, the psaltery, and the King James Version has also the dulcimer, six, interesting. 60 cubits high, 6 cubits wide, and 6 instruments in front of the statue, which would make it 666. Very interesting. This book is a book of prophecy, and we're going to get deeper into it in 1 second. And then he says, here, if you hear the worship, the music play, you fall down. I thought it was just a dedication. Oh, no. You fall down and worship. But whoever does not fall, you will be thrown in the fiery furnace. So if the music don't get you, and you're not all emotional and bow, well, then the fiery furnace will get you. And so this is amazing, because if you go to Revelation chapter 13, verse 14, 15, 16, you're not going to believe this. There's a herald. He is the third person of the unholy Trinity. He's the second beast. And he calls out and says, all the peoples of the earth, listen to me. This is the Antichrist, the first beast. Here is his image. Bow before him or you will die. Take his 666, right hand, forehead, or you will die. It's the same exact thing. When is this happening? Well, the next thing that's happening is the rapture. The Lord is going to come and take us home. But just because you're sitting here all pretty, don't mean he's going to take you. Huh? You better prepare. And how so? Don't do anything but take the blood of Jesus. That's all. He has done all the work. His perfect work was on the cross. When Jesus Christ died for you and me, and he spilled that beautiful, perfect, precious blood, that blood cleanses you from all your sins and my sins. Period. Nothing else. No one else. Nowhere else. Just Jesus Christ. That's it. And so he's coming to take the church home. We're going out of here. We're not in the tribulation. And the peoples who stay here wouldn't want to be ya. It's going to be hell on earth 7 years, and then comes the 666, the Antichrist, his image. You can't get no Happy Meal or In-N-Out burgers without your little 666. And if you do take the 666, you're going to hell straight out. There is no turning back. Very, very serious. Very serious. And then comes Armageddon, where Jesus will come and take... bring his church and save Israel, and then the millennium, and all this, all the books that are coming out on the book of Revelation, God willing, my books in April or May of this year in Revelation. Get ready. The Lord's like, hurry up, child, before the rapture. It's taking me so long. It takes me a while. I'm slow. All right. So in verse 7, we see, so that at that time, all the people, wow, they fall down and worship. Now, it doesn't say something in this verse. We'll find it out in a second. But three people didn't bow. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Where's Daniel? He's not here. He's mentioned in every chapter in the book of Daniel except here. You know why? He is like the image of the church. He's gone. The Lord took him out. These boys are about to go through the fiery furnace, just like the tribulation. Okay, so here we go. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Can you imagine the pressure? You got tens of thousands of people around you, surrounding you, and everybody's bowed down. I mean, they're prostrate. And you are three boys. They're men by now because 20 years have passed, so they're at least 36 to 40 years old. They're standing up. You imagine the sweat, the pressure that they're going through, somewhat like the Garden of Gethsemane. Hey, Shadrach. Hey, man, are you going to bow? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh and my enemies and foes attack me, they're going to stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I'm confident of, and that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. No, I'm not going to bow. Meshach, are you going to bow? He who dwells
in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. Surely He will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He will hide me under the shadow of His wings, and under His wings I will take refuge. I shall not be afraid of the terror by night, or the arrows that fly by day, or the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, or the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 will fall on my side and 10,000 on my right hand, but it shall not come near me. No, no, I'm not gonna bow. Abednego, you gonna bow? What are you gonna do? I'm gonna lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heavens and earth. Oh, He will not let my foot slip. He who watches over me will not slumber. Indeed, He who watches over Israel will neither slumber or sleep. The Lord watches over me. He is my shade at my right hand. The sun is not gonna harm me by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord watches over me. He will keep me from harm. He will watch over me now and forevermore. No, I'm not gonna bow. You wonder how these boys, these men, made the decision right then and there. You think, oh, that was easy, huh? Nah, see, they were there before they got there. Can I tell you what I mean by that? But in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, they had purposed in their heart. Is it the word purpose in the Hebrew is sum, S-U-M. They had purpose. They were determined. They were constituted. You know, at that time, when the Nebuchadnezzar was trying to change their culture, you know what he did? He said, here's my food. Here's my wine. Come with me, boys. Wine and dine. I'm gonna get you. I'm gonna change your mind, your heart, your soul, your body, everything about you. You're now a Babylonian. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel said, no. No, no, no. I have purposed in my heart that I will not dishonor my God. It was a little decision that led to this huge, 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 big decision. And all of us are failing and falling and going, oh my gosh, this is so, the internet, the nudity, and I don't know, what should I do? Should I? You decide before you get there. You purpose in your heart. You're like, no, I'm not gonna fall again. Food, food. My patient's like 300 pounds, and he's like, I don't eat nothing. I'm like, what? Child, I know you ate something. You ate a whole turkey. I know you did. I know. But they're like, no, doc, I just eat lettuce. I like, you have chocolate chip cookies in that lettuce. That's awful. Just awful. Yeah, I play with my patients all the time. It's all good. I love them. So before you get there, because it smells so delicious and, oh my gosh, the wine and all that, I'm like, baby, it's just food. It's there for your sustenance. But before you get there, you decide, hey, I'm just gonna eat whatever my fist size is on the plate. That's it. I decided to honor this body that God has given me. Yes? Beforehand, resolved in their heart. That's how they made their decision. That's so important it was such a crunch time, but they were already there before they got there. So in 8, verse 8, therefore, the certain Chaldeans went forward and accused these Jews. Man, who are these Chaldeans? They're the same people that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego saved their lives 20 years ago. Same people. They would have died. They would have just died, but because of them, they're living. And now the haters are so jealous because of the positions they got that they want them down. So they go and tell them, isn't it like Satan in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10? Our accuser, his name is Satan. He's out to steal, kill, and destroy. But the Lord is here to give, to love, to uplift, and to protect. That's your Lord Jesus Christ. In Zechariah chapter 3, Satan goes up to God, and he's like, look at him. He's talking about Joshua, the high priest. And he's like, look at him. He's dirty, nasty, stinking, filthy. And God says, get out of here. This is my son. Take his robes off of him. And his angels come and take the robes off of him. You know what they put on him? the righteousness of God. Bam, that's you. If you have the blood of Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God, the accuser can do what he wants, but you got Jesus Christ. Oh king, did you not do a decree that when they hear the music, they must fall? Yes. And king, oh king, oh, we honor you, oh king. Flatterers, liars, and haters. Oh king, but didn't you not say that if they don't bow down, that you would throw them in the furnace? Yes. And now, king, there are certain Jews, we won't mention their names, but Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and they not bowing down, king, your highness. And so the king is so mad in 13, he's just angry, and he goes, bring them here. You know, the king liked them because we read that if they did not bow, they would be thrown in the furnace immediately. But the king loves these boys so much, men, because they honor him. They serve him. Especially Daniel, he's ranked number 2 in the whole kingdom. But Daniel, remember, is like the church. He's raptured. He's not here in this story. And so, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that the image that I have set up, that you don't worship? No, I'm going to give you a second chance, you see. When you hear the Babylonian Philharmonic Orchestra play that funky music, you bow down, you see. But if you don't, I will throw you in the fiery furnace. If you do, it's all good in the hood. But if you don't, I'm going to get you. And oh, King Nebi, he shouldn't have said this in verse 15. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Isaiah 45:6, I am God. From the rising of the sun to the place where it says, there is no other. I am he. There is none beside me. That's the God. Oh, here goes Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're like in verse 16, King, we have no need to answer you in this matter. What does that mean? This is not a nasty attitude like, what you want? I ain't gonna do what you say. That's not it. It's like they're saying, no, King, we don't have to huddle. We don't have to get together. We don't have to think, should I do it? Should I not? No, we don't have. We already decided. We know the God in Genesis 1:1. He created the world. We know the God in Genesis 7. He destroyed the world. We know the God in Genesis 21:1. He gave a little baby named Isaac to a mama who was 90 years old and a daddy who was 99 years old. We know the God in Genesis 41:41, when the boy was hated and he was thrown in the pit by his brothers, and he went from the pit to the prison to the palace. We know that God. We know the God in Exodus chapter 14 when the Israelites went through the Red Sea. We know the God in 1 Samuel chapter 17 where a little boy with a sling said, you come against me with your sword and spear, but I come against you in the name of my God. We know that God. Our God is able, and he will deliver. Listen. But if not. Ooh. Some people are like, that's not faith. Yes, it is. Some people today say, faith is you command God. You ain't no commander. He is. We don't demand. He's not like, ching, ching, give it to me now. No, I bow down now. He is able. He will, but if not, we will not bow to your statue. Wow. Now, in verse 19, Nebuchadnezzar is boiling, and he said, heat that furnace up 7 times. 7 times. Ooh, that's hot. Oh, my. Oh, everywhere I go. Oh my, okay. All right. It's getting hot up in here, y'all. 7 times. Now see, this is what foolishness does. This is what anger does. Because in Proverbs 29:11, the fool has anger and rage in his heart, huh? When you're mad at somebody, we're not mad at them, we don't bless them. I bless you. You don't do that. You say dumb things, and I say dumb things. And this guy is doing a dumb thing, because if he wanted to really burn them, he'd simmer down the temperature, be like, oh, ah, like that. But he gonna make him shish kebab in a second. So, seven times. And he gets his, this is another mistake, Nebuchadnezzar. He gets the mighty men of valor, and they bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they throw them. They throw them in, and the ones who are throwing them in, they die because this place is so, so hot. You know how hot this place is? I like that. Some people are like, how hot? To cremate a body, it takes 1,400 degrees Fahrenheit to cremate. This furnace is 2,400 degrees Fahrenheit. They should have been pulverized. They should have just been vanished. No bones, no teeth, no nothing. And here they are, thrown in the midst of the fire. Can you imagine the conversation going on up in here? Hey, Shadrach, you all right? Yeah, baby, I'm cool. Hey, Meshach, you all right? Yeah, baby, I'm chilling like a West Coast villain. Ah, they don't even know what West Coast is, y'all. And then Nebuchadnezzar, he's like, "What? Did we?" He's talking to everybody. Did we not throw in three men? Yes, Your Highness. Yes, Your Highness. But look, I see four men, and then they're loose, and they're walking in the midst of the fire, and they're not hurt. And the form of the fourth man is like the Son of God. Who is this fourth man? This fourth man is Jesus Christ. He is with the three in the fiery furnace. This is a Christophany, where Jesus appears in the Old Testament before he appeared in Bethlehem. It's called a Christophany. You will find him in Songs of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 10. I know the Shulamite is talking about her lover, but it's actually Jesus Christ. She describes him as head of gold, arms all gold, legs laid in ivory, and then laden with pure gold. Jesus is gold, gold, gold. He is the only gold, and he is the only God. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody's coming to the Father except through him. What does that mean? He's the way. He's the way, and if you don't have him, you're going the wrong way. He's the truth. What does that mean? He's the truth, and if you don't have him, you got falsehood. He's the life. What does that mean? He is life, and if you don't got him, you got death. Today and for eternity, come to Jesus Christ. In 17:2 of Matthew, his face shines like the furnace. In Revelation chapter 1, Jesus' eyes are like fire, and his feet like molten brass in the furnace. Can you imagine what Jesus Christ, by the way, look at their hands. They're loosed. They were bound. But who loosens people? Only Jesus. Only Jesus. And where do they have to be? In the furnace. Don't fight the furnace. The furnace loosens addictions, and it takes away our impurities. Jesus Christ, what would he be saying to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd will lay down his life for the sheep. I will be crucified. I will be like a lamb that was slain. I will not open my mouth. I will die for you. I will rise on the third day. But understand, I am with you always, even to the ends of the world. They're walking. It says in Psalm chapter 23, verse 4, though I walk through the valley. You don't run. He's with you. He's involved. What's happening in the meanwhile? Nebuchadnezzar is like, didn't we throw four men? And Nebuchadnezzar says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come on out. He's calling them out of the furnace. If I were them, I'd be like, I ain't coming out. You come in here. You the one that threw me in here. You come and get me. That's terrible. That's wrong. Forgive me, Lord. All right. So where was we, y'all, for y'all messed me up again. So he calls them out. Now they come out, and in verse 27, you can't smell fire on them. You ever been in an emergency room? You haven't really, but what am I talking about? In the emergency room, sometimes people come in with no eyebrows, and we're like, what happened? And they like, all smell like smoke. You know, they turn on the charcoal and everything, like that. Their eyebrows gone. I mean, they should have died. They should have been pulverized, but they're outside. Their clothing is on. You can't smell nothing. All their hair is in place. It's unreal. And they who bow down now are staring at these three men. And people, you know, people like, well, we believe that there was a cold spot in the fiery furnace. And that's why they, I'm like, well, that fire must be very selective because it burned the ropes and they don't smell them and it was a cold spot. They're the same haters that hate our God, that hate the Bible, that hate Jesus Christ. They're the same ones that say, you know, when the Israelites passed through the Red Sea, the water was only 1 inch thick. I'm like, bring it. Because if it's only 1 inch thick, that's a greater miracle because all of Pharaoh and Pharaoh's horses and chariots got drowned in 1 inch of water. Bring it. This is truth. It is truth yesterday. It is truth today. It is truth tomorrow. It will not change. And just in case you don't believe it, because we looked at the statue of the gold and silver and all that, you can stay here in the tribulation and find out that the 10 toes are the 10 European nations during the tribulation, and you really can't get a Happy Meal and an In-N-Out burger without the 666. I wouldn't recommend it. So he says, blessed is the God who delivered you, and he forms a decree saying, nobody talk about this God, he's the greatest God, and he promotes Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Boy, they had resolved, didn't they? Before the fire, they had decided to follow Jesus. And in the fire where we all trying to get out, like, get me out of this. That's where our impurities dissolve. And it's in the furnace where you must understand the hardship, the heartache that you face today, that Jesus is so involved with you. He's right beside you. He will never leave you. I never got that verse until recently this week, where I am with you, and I always read that in 28:20 of Matthew. I am with you always, always, even in the furnace. Before the furnace, in the furnace, after the furnace, I'm with you. I love this song that I learned as a kid, and I sing it often, almost every day. It's what we should do. We have to decide. It goes something like this. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. You see, the world behind me, the cross before me,
the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back, no turning back, no turning back.
Stand with me. Let's pray. Stand. Stand, warriors of God, stand. I know there are people here that are hurting so much. I know there are some people who are so happy that last year is over with and we begin a new page. I challenge you from now to purpose in your heart that you're going to follow Jesus Christ no matter what. That you're not bowing down to the idols of this world. You're bowing down to Jesus alone. I want your eyes to open, the spiritual eyes to open, and to be in the furnace. And just imagine the chains and the hardship and the sicknesses and the illnesses just breaking off of you. And I want you to feel the touch of Jesus, who's always involved in your life.